Amen. Every beat is calling out his name. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Squim Community Church. It's great to have you with us in the room as well as on our live stream this morning. And yesterday, I got a glimpse of that, all creation proclaiming the glory of God. If you've ever been up to Hurricane Ridge or Deer Park, I went up to Deer Park, and that is a scary road. I don't recommend it. I kind of thought we were going to die. But when we got to the top, it was glorious and beautiful, and I was just reminded of that. All creation proclaims the glory of God. And James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And so I was thinking about that this morning. How amazing, the God that created those mountains and that ocean and all the beautiful things we see, he wants to meet with you this morning. So as we worship, draw near to God. Count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out.
My mother's womb, you formed me with your
hands, known and loved by you. Before I took a breath, when I doubted, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. All things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your name. Hey, there's a healing light just beyond the clouds. Though I've walked through fire, I see clearly now. I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter on the canvas and the clay. And you make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake, 'cause you're an artist and a potter on the canvas and the clay. And you make all things work together for my future and for that you are working in all the details. We give you praise this morning.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let the rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden. There's hope for the hopeless and all who have strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste of the grace. There's rest for the weary and rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can. Amen. So lay down your that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your
let's pray together. You are great and glorious God, the Almighty God, a God who could expect perfection in each and every one of us. Yet you allow us to come as we are. And Lord, you know how we are. We have good days and bad days, positive feelings and destructive feelings. We have great thoughts and, well, we have poor thoughts. We do things that are really good and, well, then we sin as well. And you ask us to come just the way that we are, and you love us enough to receive us, to accept us the way that we are, but you also love us too much to leave us that way. That your plan is to redeem us, to transform us, to sanctify us. And it's not as though we're always worthy of that, but you have placed within us a worth that is eternal as you have created us in your image. And you've placed that sense of our need to be in relationship with you. And we're thankful that that is nurtured, that that is a day-to-day experience that we have with you. And we look forward to the time when that is all that there is, your glory, your presence, your peace. We confess our sin. We desire to raise our gaze in a heavenly direction this morning, in an eternal direction. And as we pray for those around us that are in need. We pray for leaders in the world and in our country and in our region. Lord, where we need to be moved forward this morning, do that through your Holy Spirit. Give us the direction that we need. Give us the peace that we need. Give us the power that we need. Lord, as we're ushered into your presence this morning, help us to feel you as well as know that you are with us, that you are God who is for us and not against us, not a God holding us down or holding us back, but wanting to usher us forward. We always have a hope and a future in you, and we're thankful for that. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Well, it's great to have you here. We've been having a pretty good summer, and there's some more coming up, just up ahead. It's good we had a little, I guess you'd call that rain yesterday. That's not what they would call it. That's not what they would call it most places, but for us, since we don't get much rain, we'll call that rain, and everything is nice and fresh this morning, and it's great to have you with us. I have one good thing to tell you, and then I have a great opportunity for you, announcement for you. Our students went to camp last week, and they had a great time, so now we've had a middle school, high school, and children head off to camp. In fact, Isaac was one of the counselors. This time, Isaac, it was good. No one had a, well, never mind. He had a great time. All the kids had a great time. We've got a class coming up. I don't know if you know Charlie Meyer, but Charlie Meyer is a great guy and a good mind. And he's going to create an opportunity for 3 weeks starting next Sunday, 10:15 and 11:15, a special summer adult Sunday seminar. Charlie's going to take on the great challenge of talking about the sovereignty of God and the free will of humanity. Now, if you haven't hung around that conversation much, you're going to want to be in this class. And if you've talked about that before, you're going to want to be in that class, because those are big, important theological concepts. And I could tell you, Charlie's very good at helping people understand the basics as well as carrying on the conversation about those two different things. So again, that starts next Sunday, 10:30 and 11:30 over in the adult portable.
And they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. "What are we going to drink?" they demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." After leaving Marah, The Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs and 70 palm trees. They camped there beside the water.
Well, we've been talking about the challenge of life, especially the challenges that we've faced over the last year and a half. And we've talked about the fact that there are disappointments, and at times things are disheartening, and we get a little despairing and a little depressed. Yes, that's the way life can be. I'm doing part B from what I did last week. Today we're going to talk about dead ends and detours. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like detours, and I hate dead ends even worse than I do detours. Why? They delay you. They delay you. They keep you from moving forward. They keep you from arriving where you want to be. These detours, these dead ends that we've been facing, that it seems as though we're a little delayed. We've been held back. We haven't been able to get to our destination. We haven't really, enjoyed the trip. Have you noticed that when you're driving and you run into a detour or a dead end, that everyone else in the car is not happy either? Detours and dead ends, they can delay our life. They can become frustrating. Well, I found, and in our scripture, I think you can see that, detours and dead ends fall into two categories: situational circumstances in life, and then sometimes there are just detours and dead ends relationally. Situationally, here we are, the people of Israel have gotten out of slavery. Moses has gotten them to the Red Sea. They were flabbergasted at what they saw. They were hemmed in, and God did a miracle, and they made their way through the Red Sea to the other side. And as we read in our scripture, the water closed up, and that's how God took care of the enemy as they followed. Verse 22, then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. Then they came to the oasis of Marah. The water was too bitter to drink. 3 days without water. All of those people out in the middle of where? Out in the middle of the desert. As you might imagine, people got a little cranky about that. Oh, it's okay, there's an oasis right up ahead. And can you imagine leading everybody who are really thirsty to an oasis? And as soon as they bent over and scooped up some water, it was bitter. Oh, Moses, why have you brought us here? Well, we can understand that there are bitter circumstances in life. Sometimes detours and dead ends are bitter. Things could be sweet, but they're not. They're bitter in life. And because those circumstances or situations are sour and bitter, that can make us a little sour and a little bitter. Situational detours and dead ends. There's also relational detours and dead ends. Verse 24. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. Now, that's never happened to you when you've led a group of people, has it? You ever have that happen? Yes. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? Now, it's interesting that they look to Moses to solve the problem, and we'll find out just a little bit later that, well, sometimes the answer is not a human one. Sometimes the answer is a divine one. They're not looking for the divine. You notice not a single one gets down on their knees and begins to pray to God that God would do something, that God would bring rain out of heaven. Oh, no. Moses was the leader. He's supposed to take care of everything. And now that it's not going their way, they're going to, right? That's what they did, Michael. Yak, 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 yak. And guess what? It's not positive. It's not appreciative. Moses, you need to fix this. You're the one that got us out of slavery. You got us across the Red Sea. Dude, you could at least get us something to drink after all of that, can't you? And how often when we find ourselves at a detour and a dead end, those that are leading us, it's interesting that we get a little, right? When we hit a dead end or a detour, we often respond to those negative situations and circumstances that are delaying us, that are holding us up. Those detours and delays, we usually respond to them in one of three ways. The first thing we often do is we curse them. Right? Don't we? I think I'm getting a little too excited. Shame for me. I'm a Presbyterian. Shouldn't get that excited. Now, don't tell me you haven't been on a trip and you've come to a detour or a dead end and you haven't muttered something that's not positive under your breath. Right? Right? We get mad. We get upset. As we get upset, everybody else in the car gets upset, or everyone on the bus, right, gets upset. Have you noticed that when you're upset at a detour or a dead end, everybody else on the trip is upset too? I don't think I've ever seen someone in a gridlock on I-5 in California, out in the middle of nowhere, everybody just applauding. Oh, this is so wonderful. Now we're not going to get to grandma's for another hour. Yeah, we usually curse it. We don't like it. Oh, it's bad. Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Now, when a person is the detour and the dead end, it's easy to curse them. And I think even though this is a relational issue, I think there's a truth here for situational detours and dead ends. If we think somehow in this moment that God is against us, well, we should watch what we say. In fact, we should watch our own attitude because, well, if we say, okay, well, this is the Lord's will, and it's hard to say that when it's an important trip, a long trip, and there's a detour, there's a dead end. Yet we should want to bless others, not persecute others. And guess what? That is not how we're wired as human beings. We're wired. We have this fight or flight wiring us, and we either fight and get upset or we run away. Well, God gives us an additional alternative, and that alternative is to bless, to see whatever delay is taking place as God's will, as God's blessing. I always like it when it's faster, not slower. I think we all like it a little faster than we do slower. And when we're mad, guess what? We usually are not at our best. We usually don't do our best. So first of all, we got to set aside our cursing. The next thing we have a tendency to do is we have a tendency to run it over and over in our mind. We rehearse it. And I don't know about you, but when you rehearse something in your mind that's not positive, have you noticed it doesn't get any better? Have you noticed it gets worse? That's the great thing about getting older is you're allowed to tell stories. And have you noticed that when you tell a story, the good things were absolutely magnificent? And have you noticed that when things were bad, it was really bad? I mean, it was awful. It was the worst ever. See, we get it on that closed loop tape of our minds and we keep mulling it over, thinking about it. And that doesn't cycle us up in life. That has a tendency to cycle us down in life. Here's what Paul says: get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Now, the reason you need to get rid of all the bitterness, rage, and anger is because you're only hurting yourself. Those negative emotions, the more you think about them, the more you're going to aggrandize the emotion. And you're going to feel worse and worse. And finally, things like bitterness will consume you. And when we're consumed by anger or bitterness, we don't make good choices. See, bitterness is like burning down the house to get rid of the rats. Don't you do that when you're cursing? When you're rehearsing something negative over and over and over again? Yeah, things don't get better. Usually things get worse. Those detours and those dead ends begin to take on a negative, bad life of their own. And all that does is create more fear, more anxiety. The more and more we rehearse it, the worse it gets. Have you noticed as you're driving and a detour or a dead end comes up, have you noticed how you have a tendency to go to the negative? Oh no, now we're never going to get there. We're never going to get there. Now, I get it because I don't like to wait. In fact, I it's true, I am not the most patient person in the world. That's not really one of my virtues. I want to go, and I want to go fast. I want to get there because once I get there, then I get to relax, right? And when I get delayed, oh, I can get a little cranky just like you. So don't curse it, don't rehearse it, and absolutely don't nurse it. How do you nurse it? You throw yourself a pity party. Have you thrown yourself a pity party lately? Yeah, we do that every once in a while. Oh, poor me. Well, it may very well be poor you. You may not get to your destination on time. And I could tell you two or three stories in my life where I was delayed, and that ended up being a very good thing. A very good thing. God's detours and God's dead ends are not his denials. Our delay is not a denial. It's just a what? It's just a delay. Yes, it's a disappointment, but it's not an ultimate disappointment. Yes, it gets discouraging, but But it's not the most discouraging thing we have to deal with. And I think in the last year and a half, there's been a little cursing going on. I know for a fact there's been some rehearsing. In fact, people have rehearsed the negative so much that now there's no optimism. No awareness that even in all of this, God has been doing great things. Some amazing things in the last year and a half. And we've missed that. Why? Well, we're cursing. We're depressed. We're discouraged because we keep rehearsing it. And then finally, either all by ourselves or we gather a few other people around us and we throw ourselves a pity party. It's never going to be better. This is terrible. We're going to be delayed. This detour, oh, it's really turning into a dead end, and I don't know where I'm going after that, but God does. In the big road trip of life, we run into detours and delays, and that makes me a little anxious, actually, in my life. I get anxious, why? Because I don't know where to go, and I don't know how to solve the problem. Now, I love GPS. I'm much more relaxed now because I have GPS. Siri's always with me. So we have to choose. Are we going to curse it, rehearse it, or nurse it? And we don't want to nurse it. Ephesians 4:26 and 27. And don't sin by letting your anger control you. Because when you do, it gives a foothold to the devil. Now, I can't tell you I've never gotten angry in gridlock trying to drive in LA from one place to another when I needed to get there in a timely fashion. Here's what Job says. You may tear out your hair in anger, but that will not destroy the earth. It will destroy you. And it will not make the rocks tremble. It'll just make you very difficult to travel with in life. Isn't it true? Yeah, it's true. Now, the reality is there are detours and dead ends that are situational and relational in life, and we have to choose how we're going to respond to them. It's true, our sinful nature, our default, is we curse it, we rehearse it, and we nurse it. But what should we do? What we should do, what we learn from this passage, is that we have to release it to God. Let go of it. Disperse it to God. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. I know a few parents have done that when driving their children. Right? They get all upset at a detour and a dead end, and I know what you really want to do. Lord, take them. They're yours. What we need to do is turn to the Lord. He knows. He knows where you're supposed to be and when you're supposed to get there. He knows how to take us from where we are to where we need to be, where he wants us to be. Don't you want to be where God wants you to be? Sure you do. Sure you do. And the people are clamoring, and the oasis is bitter, and well, Moses knows what to do. Turn to God. Give that dead end and that detour, all those negative emotions, all that frustration and discouragement and anxiety, and give it all to God. Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want me to do? Show me, David says. Show me where it is you want me to go. Illumine that path for me so it's easy for me to know. And we know Moses is kind of in a fix, isn't he? He's got all of these people out in the desert. They're all thirsty, and the place that he brings them is a bitter place. It's true, sometimes dead ends, detours, they give us a kind of a bitter taste in our mouth. They sour our emotions and our thinking. And so we do turn to God, and we give our concern, our circumstance, our relationship to God, knowing that God knows best, that God is in control. And we offer it to him, and then we expect that God will reverse it, that detour, that dead end will be reversed, and we will make our way once again, right? We always have a hope in a future if we trust in God. And he's just not some kind of a God. He's the Almighty God. And he knows, even though we don't know. He's the one in heaven kind of going, hey, calm down. Why are you so anxious? Why are you so worried? Why are you so concerned? And the fact is when life doesn't go the way that we want it to go, man, we're just like the people of Israel. We get upset with what's going on around us, and we ultimately get upset with God. And as we can set that aside, now we're in a place to cry out to God, to say to God, Lord, please reverse this. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood, Moses. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. Wow. God took what was bitter and he made it sweet. God is in the business of taking the sour, difficult, challenging things in our life and doing something good in them and through them. He's in the business of taking sour people and making them a little sweeter. Sour circumstances and making them a little more satisfying, a little sweeter. We know he's in that business because he knows how to bring resurrection out of death. And I think David is right. There's a lot of shadows of death in this valley. See, the Red Sea was a mountaintop experience, and guess what? We don't get to live in the mountaintop. We have to live in the valley. And there's always a valley after a mountaintop. And oftentimes, it's in our lacking that God shows his plenty to us. Many times, our shortages lead us to the fulfillment, the bumper crop that God has in store for us, the harvest that God has in store for us. God will reverse it. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. Now we know what happens is once everybody got some water to drink, it was time to head out and find a better place to overnight to camp. Verse 27. After leaving Marah, the Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs, 70 palm trees, and they camped there. Now here's my question for you. May I ask you this morning, where have you camped your life? Have you camped your life by the bitter and the frustrating and the discouraging and the depressing? Or have you camped your life by that which is refreshing and sweet and fulfilling and full of hope and a future? Now, as Christians, we always have a hope and a future. We always know that God is for us and against us. And as Moses had a piece of wood, we have a piece of wood too. See, Jesus gave us the cross. And the promise of that cross is that in the end, things will not be sour, but they will be sweet. Isn't that what we read in Revelation? That when we get to heaven, there'll be no more suffering, no more pain, no more tears. And I believe in the shadows of death in this world, God brings resurrection to those. Yeah, it's true. A detour and a dead end is a little shadow of death. It makes us anxious and we worry and we get frustrated. But what we learn from Moses and the people of Israel is, yes, God does miraculous things. He takes sour people and he makes them sweet. And for some of us, that's miraculous. He takes the sour circumstances in life. And I know there's a lot of them. I've noticed the older I get that I run into a few more sour things. And God promises that he will take those sour circumstances, those sour relationships, and he will do something sweet if we'll just call upon him. The problem is that we think we have to be the solution to everything. And when you get to a detour and a dead end, you begin to run into the limits of your humanity. And that can make you either sour or it can have you look towards sweet Jesus. And we hang on to that piece of wood. We hang on to the cross of Jesus. And we understand that, yes, there is suffering in this world, but Jesus came to give us life and give us life to the full. He came into this world to bless us. He came into this world to lead us to eternity. Well, we've got to make the choice. See, detours and dead ends, there are given in life. The only choice we have is how we're going to respond to them. Our natural way to respond to them is, well, we curse it and rehearse it and we nurse it. And instead of that, what we need to do is release it to God and look to God to reverse it, and he does. How do we know? How do we know? We know because of the cross and what Christ did for us on the cross. He gave his life so that we could have life. And so I think our goal is to grab a hold of Romans 8:28. The next time you run into a detour or a dead end, grab a hold of that verse and repeat that verse. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good. Wait. And we know that God causes every detour and every dead end to work together for good for those who love God and are called living according to his purpose for them. I'm like you. When detours and dead ends come, well, part of me wants to say, oh, I'm being punished. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't holy enough. I wasn't loving enough. I didn't serve enough. And the truth is, well, we all have our limits. We all have our giftedness. We're not gifted at everything. And in those moments, we have to realize that God has given us limits for a reason. We were created incomplete for a reason. So that we would know that we need God. We need God in the detours of life. We need God in the dead ends of life because, well, He is working everything out for good. For those that love Him, those that are called living according to His purpose. Let us pray. Lord, we know that detours and dead ends are a part of life, and none of us really want to drive in that direction. In fact, we do all that we can many times so that we don't have a detour or a dead end yet, even with all of our great planning. We still experience those. And it's true, some of those are situational and some of those are relational. And you know our tendency. We're pretty good at cursing and rehearsing and nursing. But Lord, help us to be really good at releasing things to you. Hoping and knowing that you're a God that reverses things for us. Because if you can reverse death into resurrection, well, we know that you can deal with our detour and our dead end. And Lord, help us not to turn our detours into dead ends. Jesus, we are thankful that you're working things out for good in our world and in our life. Always help us to hear your clarion call. Help us to hear your whispers as well. Lord, we're thankful that in your working everything out for good, that you make it clear how we can live according to your purpose and how many times that gives us the path we're looking for in a detour and a dead end. Lord, you are a great God. We want to thank you for being a great God. We want to thank you for working in us and through us, situationally and relationally. Amen.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice, and seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well. It is well. Jesus, we thank you that you walk through everything with us, that even through good times and bad times, mountains and valleys, you are faithful and you hold us and we can trust you, Lord. We give you the honor, we give you the glory, we give you the praise this morning. Thank you so much, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks again for joining us this morning. It was wonderful to see you all. As you go this week, remember, He is with you through every circumstance, and He loves you. God bless you.